What is your biggest fear right now? Coronavirus, maybe? What it can do to you financially, physically, familially? Or is it something else? Should it be something else?
The greatest problem of mankind is the problem of the storm and the alienation and the warfare that we have with God Himself. We are at enmity with God. That is the storm everyone should fear. Our lives hang in His hand.
And this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Thank you for catching up with us today. We're in studio with Pastor Chris. We'll be looking at, of all things, the coronavirus. Is it God's judgment? And the fear of losing it all. Stick around and be encouraged. Let's get started with our time together today and Pastor Chris. Well, for the last couple of days here on Abounding Grace, we have been dealing with the coronavirus in a roundabout way. We've spent some time in Psalm 46. In fact, the title of that program is A Fortress in Time of Pandemic. You can find it on our website, agradio.org, as well as what we've done the last couple of days out of John chapter 5, The Lord of Life, just taking a look at who God is in the times of crisis and confusion. Do we serve a God who is in charge of all, or do we not? And so as we spend time in studio today and tomorrow, we want to continue looking at some of these things. And Chris, as we begin today, I can't help but think of all of our listeners, or many of them, who are thinking, oh, this is God's judgment. And we've heard that. Is it God's judgment? Is it not? Is there a balance to how we think about this stuff? It's a question I know that is on the hearts and minds of most. Is this God's judgment? Have we reached a point where God has finally said enough? And this is what we've got, the coronavirus. Is it His judgment or is it not? What say you?
That's an important question. There have been usually what we find is at times like this, when some great, terrible thing happens in society, you'll get extreme responses immediately of pastors who will say, this is God's judgment for this particular sin, that has, you know, has come down on us. And I think, you know, there's a balanced response to this, you know, an important response, but a responsible response. And Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 24, that there's going to be certain things that happen in the earth, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. He says all these things are the beginnings of sorrows and birth pains, if you will. He calls them birth pains and sorrows. In other words, they're precursors to the final judgment. So we look at these things, and what they're telling us very clearly is there is a judgment to come. Things are not right. Things are happening in the earth. Nothing is going to stay the way it is. Things are moving. And that's an important message for everyone to consider. This life is not going to go on indefinitely as you think it does. Every morning you get up, there's the sun. I have my responsibilities. Well, I think we've learned in this very event, it has utterly stopped our way of life. One little virus has utterly stopped us in our tracks and taken away all normality. And these are the sort of things that Jesus is saying we should stop and we should consider, that there is a final end to these things and a judgment to come. And all these, just like birth pains, any woman giving birth knows this, those contractions and those pains before the final giving of birth are very painful, but they're telling you as those contractions get more and more and more and more, that the greatest is coming when that baby comes. That is what Jesus likens this world to in the time leading up to the final judgment. These famines, these pestilences, these earthquakes are all birth pains leading us to the end. And so there needs to be a recognition that in God's providence, these things are sent as judgments on the earth to remind everyone of the necessity for repentance. The danger is, and the wrong thing to do is, like some pastors who get up and say, this is a judgment on a specific sin, as if we can read God's providence. We can't do that. We don't know. He hasn't told us those sort of things, but we have the general application of it. Let me give you a perfect example, Andy, to answer that. Jesus was faced with these very questions. Listen to Luke 13. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them. "Do you think they were worse offenders than all others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So there were tragic things that had happened. Jesus is talking about a world leader had killed a bunch of people who were worshiping. A tower had fallen over and killed a bunch of people. And everyone was thinking, well, that happened because they're really bad sinners and did something wrong. Jesus takes all these events and turns them back to us and says, listen, I tell you, they're not worse sinners than anyone else. All of these things that are happening in the earth should have the effect on us living right now, breathing, thinking about these things, of us saying things are not right. I should repent of my sins and come to Jesus for salvation and forgiveness. That's the effect these things should have. So when we ask the question, is this a judgment from God? All these things are leading up to the final judgment. God does issue judgments in the earth. There's a pale horse riding. You know, there's a black horse riding. These are judgments from the throne. The pale and the black horse, you know, that's death. And they hit economies in Revelation 6. And they hit health with pestilence. Revelation talks about these horses riding out from the throne that the Lamb of God has sent. There are judgments issued from the throne. Be sure of that. But all of it is meant for everyone to consider that the final judgment is coming and that people should come to Jesus today. So most certainly, you know, Andy, I had someone say to me recently, who's a non-believer, who is not thinking about any of these things. They come up and they say, you know, why are things so wrong with the world? Well, that's the kind of reflection we need right now, right? That's the kind of questioning we need right now. When we have nothing, when the stock market's great, everyone's making a lot of money, life is going on as normal, as usual, nobody asks those questions. Now let something like this come where people feel their helplessness and realize they don't have control of much of anything. Now they're starting to ask questions like that. What is wrong here? Why are things so messed up? And that's where we come in and say, this is what sin has caused. This is what the fall brought. All these things have opened us up to a creation subject to decay and under people under God's judgment. And you know what? The real solution is, we need a savior.
We do.
That's the moment that we need to capitalize on.
You know, Chris, I can't help but think, as you're talking about all of this, there are those listening going, well, yeah, but, you know, think of all the millions of babies America has killed with abortion and that sin. This has got to be God's judgment on that. And I'm thinking, really, so what about the rest of the world? They're under the same judgment. Is this one sin so heinous that God's going to isolate the rest of the world and the heinousness of the pandemic of sin? Or is he going to be long-suffering as we know him to be? And that's not to brush away the sin, but to say there's something far greater at stake here than just one specific sin of a country, and that's what God is doing. He's judging the country for that sin. Well, what does that say about the cross of Christ as well then, right?
Right. I think that gets back to the issue of reading providence. Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which he controls and upholds all things with his power. Nothing happens by chance. So he's ordering events with secondary causes. Everything is under his sovereign control. And things are happening so that the Christian has the perspective that there's nothing that is merely flippantly happening. God didn't wind up the world like a clock, as the deists say, and leave and let it kind of fall to chance. We believe everything is under that sovereign control and design of God. The challenge is God hasn't told us specifically, you know, we have the word of God that tells us everything we need to know for life and godliness, but God hasn't told us specifically when judgments fall on the earth, what particular sin he's going after.
Right.
He just doesn't do that. However, With that said, I think the general application of this is true. You're raising an important point. There are, Romans 2 says people treasure up for themselves judgment and wrath for the day of wrath. Sins in the earth, sins of people, the Lord is long-suffering. And the Lord for a long time extends his hand out, an arm, to help people and forgive people. But as they continue to harden their hearts and continue to increase in all kinds of terrible, wicked things, abortion being awful, that we would destroy from the womb, the very gift of God, of little children made in his image that are meant to be a blessing that we would utterly destroy, is a very heinous and serious sin. It's awful. It's just, it's hard to even comprehend.
Yeah.
How much death and destruction we have brought. Is there a judgment coming for that? You absolutely.
Of course.
There's no way to say there's not. I think what we should do is in all these situations, turn it back to us and say, listen, all these messes that are happening, everything that in society that seems to be falling apart is telling us the time is short. And that we should repent today. That's always the message of Scripture. Repent today. So yes, everyone should hear this call. All our governing leaders should hear this call to stop the sins against the God of heaven and earth and of murder and of destruction. You know, there's a silver lining, I suppose, in it, Andy, that as has been said, that if all the abortion centers shut down right now because society's on lockdown over the coronavirus, we'll save more lives than what the coronavirus has killed.
Exactly.
So, you know, I mean, so there's, you know, there's certain ways to look at things.
Right.
But I think this is the general application of, listen, these things are all warnings. The time is short.
Yeah.
And I think people are ready to hear that message, especially if things get worse. The coronavirus is, you know, it's really shaken up the world and there's people dying and that's a very serious thing. But I don't think it's brought the helplessness to everyone yet that could be felt, that in history has been felt by people in very terrible situations.
Well, and therein, Chris, lies, I think, where we should probably go with the rest of our program today. Man, we have been given here in America so much, and we stand on the brink of losing it all. And I can't help but wonder how many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are almost to the point of despair because of the fear of losing all that they've been accustomed to and conditioned to have at their fingertips at any given moment. The lifestyle we have we've grown accustomed to, man, God takes it all away. Where does that leave us? We have a long way to fall, I'm thinking.
You know, that's a really important question. That right now, you know, what is the greatest fear is the loss. You know, it's not so much for some people. It is, you know, it depends on whether you're at risk or
right.
what you're facing in terms of the virus. You could lose your life through this, but a lot of people, most people right now are afraid of losing, you know, their stuff, their livelihood, the economy's tanking, the stock market's falling, and all of this gain and all this prosperity. I think what we're seeing is in a moment, it's being taken away. And I mentioned a moment ago, Revelation 6. Let me read that, Andy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I heard the third living creature say, come. And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. That horse is attacking the economies of the world, the scales. And this is important, you know. People can make a lot of money in this world, but Jesus said and always told us that this is not what life is about, storing up our treasures here, building our barns bigger and bigger. And we've been so accustomed to increase and productivity and growth and growth and growth and more and more and more. And what we're realizing is in a moment, this could all be taken away. And while that creates a lot of fear for people, that actually, in God's great providence, has a greater effect of making people realize we don't uphold our own lives. None of this we're taking into eternity. And And those sort of questions and those sort of thoughts at times like this are important, because really, if we're fearing the loss of these sort of earthly temporal things, it really shows where our heart is,
yes.
where our heart, you know, where our treasure
exactly.
is, there our heart will be also. And that's the sort of exposure at moments like this. So what if we lost everything in this life? Well, the Bible's always told us when we die, we take nothing with us. We're not hoarding to take anything. Our lives are subject to death. And our greatest treasure is coming in glory in heaven. And so, you know, these sort of things need to happen at times so that people will wake up that they've been pursuing in this life all the wrong things.
So how do you counsel somebody today, Chris, as we begin to wrap up our time today here on the program? You're in fear of losing so much, and what are you going to do? Where should that person's focus be? How can we encourage somebody who's listening to us today going, man, I'm just so uncertain about tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen, and it scares me to death.
Right, and there's been the greatest answer ever announced throughout history that if you're feeling that you should listen to, and his name is Jesus. the reason the gospel was given, the reason God sent his son, was so that we would have a refuge and a hiding place. Number one, to remember this, these problems on the earth are not our biggest problem. I think it's really important.
Yes.
We can talk about the storms of life. We can talk about the hardships of life. We've been so used to in this country living so well that our hardships are a bad day, you know, or we didn't make as much in the stock market, or, you know, these sort of things.
The barista at Starbucks
was
mean to me.
your steak wasn't cooked well enough.
Right.
You know, that's been the kind of life you've been used to. I want to tell you, those are not your problems. Those are not your problems. The greatest problem of mankind is the problem of the storm and the alienation and the warfare that we have with God himself. We are at enmity with God. That is the storm everyone should fear. Our lives hang in his hand. And if we don't have a covering, if we don't have a mediator, if we don't have a savior, there is nothing but a fearful expectation of judgment to come. That's the message of the Bible, like it or not, reject it or not. That still doesn't take away the truth of it. That is what is going to happen. And so that is our greatest issue, is am I right with God? How can I stand before a holy God? How can I be forgiven of all my terrible things that I've done in this life? If those are your questions and those are your concerns, well, I've got the greatest announcement of comfort for you. The greatest announcement of comfort is God sent his son, Jesus, who's the propitiation for our sins. If you believe in him and you come to him for life, that warfare is over. The greatest destruction is done. You are forgiven. The judgment is over for you. And you have a place prepared for you in heaven that has a city that has foundations. There will be in that place no more sickness, no sorrow, nor death. That's what's promised to you. A right, reconciled relationship with the one that matters. And God has given you a beautiful Savior who has forgiven and loved you and promised to care for you through all of this. That's the good news. That's the help. But there's not good news, Andy, for those who are falling apart in this world because of a loss of these things. For if you're trying to hold on to your life here desperately, and you think this is your best life, and you're distressed over the loss of earthly things, and you don't have a savior, there is no consolation for you. There is no answer for you. And that's what I think we have to be really clear at this time. You need a savior. For the Christian who in this life often feels anxiety and often feels panic and distress because we go through those things, what we need to remember is Jesus said, he feeds the birds of the air. He cares for even the flowers of the field. How much more will he care for you? That's the sort of confidence. If you ask him for bread because you lack bread, and by the way, is anyone asking for that right now, or are they more troubled by the money they've lost in the stock market, right?
Right.
If you ask for bread, what good father on this earth would throw back a stone to his son? Well, the heavenly father's not going to do that for you. So the point is Jesus wants us to know and trust him that there really is no reason to fear in this life. There's no reason to fear. He cares for you. He loves you. He'll provide for you. He'll watch over you. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Psalm 46. That has to be the perspective of the Christian, no matter what comes at us in this earth. I'm not saying that's easy. We're fearful creatures. I'm not saying that's just a easy path to walk. But it is the calling of the Lord to not be anxious, because we have a God who actually cares for us and has delivered us.
And so I guess that then will close out today's program. But what you're doing really, Chris, is setting us up for tomorrow's broadcast. And I think that's probably going to be a great place to start. What a marvelous segue is just looking at our focus and where it really is. I mean, have we focused so much on this life that we've lost sight of the one to come? Are we so intent on the here and now, as they say, that we really don't grasp the there and the then?
Yeah, I mean, that's an important question also. You know, we're very earthly minded. And one of the things that the Christian life is teaching us in our sanctification is to become more heavenly minded. This is Colossians 3. If you've been raised with Christ, set your minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's not what America has taught us to do. America, you know, and this is interesting, you know, another silver lining in this whole thing, Andy, is that, you know, now we're stuck at home with our families.
Oh, darn.
You know, we've been running around so busy. And we've been running around trying to make a life for ourselves and make money and try to find happiness, that we really haven't stopped and considered the most important things, priorities. And setting our minds on heavenly things is something that's right. That's how the Christian mind is being trained. And so we should look at all of these things, whatever we're going through, whatever's happening, as these opportunities to prioritize and come back and consider what is most important. And maybe that's a good lead-in for tomorrow.
So get your bookmark and place it right here. As Pastor Chris mentioned, we'll pick up our conversation tomorrow as we take a look at some of the various aspects that we find ourselves in the midst of through this coronavirus, the highs and the lows, the silver linings to it all, and the challenges and concerns that we as the church will face. Are you so heavenly minded you're no earthly good? Or more biblically, are you so heavenly minded that you are of great earthly good? We'll talk about that again tomorrow on Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment here. But first, let me leave you with a couple of things. If you'd like to contact us for any reason at all, whether it's a question, a comment, a prayer request, we would love to hear from you. You can reach out to us through our website, agradio.org. Again, agradio.org. Or by calling 888-504-8805. Now, remember, as you visit our website, agradio.org, there are an awful lot of resources there that you can take advantage of. As Pastor Chris mentioned earlier in the broadcast, we've got blogs there. Past programs are available for you to download and listen at your convenience. Other resource materials from other authors published there as well. And then if you do have a question for Pastor Chris, you can always record it on your voice memo app on your smartphone and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. If we use it on the air, we'll let you know. And please remember, this is a listener-supported ministry. Your financial support and prayerful support goes a long way, especially at this time. Now, speaking of that, here's Pastor Chris once again with a reminder about you and your own church and where you're at. Chris?
You know, that question of giving is an important one at times like this. A lot of people will feel that since they don't, you know, aren't at church, they don't need to support those ministries. And I just want to encourage you to support your churches, support those who minister to you. It's really important at this time. We don't want to lose the most important message that this world needs. And so it's always hard to talk about giving because there's been so much abuse with it. But please remember your churches. There's a lot that goes into this, and they need you. And if you're able to do that, you're giving unto the Lord, and the Lord loves a cheerful giver.
Indeed he does. Thank you, Chris. Friend, thank you for joining us today. Tomorrow, we'll continue our discussion on the coronavirus and the state of the church, how to be heavenly minded so that you're of great earthly good, what to really fear, some practical things you can do as parents while you're spending this extra time with your children. That's all tomorrow here on Abounding Grace. Thank you for joining us. Until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.